Beats of Bhakti. Welcome, everyone, back to the Beats of Bhakti podcast. If you haven't had a chance yet, then please listen back to the first episode, the welcome episode, which will give you a good feeling and connection with the content and what it is you can expect to hear from this podcast series about medicine, music, and sacred sounds. In this podcast, I had the incredible opportunity to interview Ajit Kaur, a sacred music artist who fuses her connection with Kundalini yoga and the sacredness of her Irish roots. It was wonderful being in her company, such a gentle spirit, but whose music really brings a potency and a potent blessing when you listen to it. The interview took place after a magical evening of song and mantra and sacred sound with her band in the St. James's Church in London. And her band were super, super accommodating for me to do the interview with her. And it was really nice to spend a little bit of time with them. They seemed like a really, felt like a traveling family of musicians. They really felt connected. It was really nice being in their space for a little bit of time. So in this interview, we touch on her recent album, Indigo Sea, her connection to the sacredness of water, a life of balanced giving and receiving. And also, we talk about what can be said as the elephant in the room, or the elephant in the concert hall, or the elephant in the yoga studio, or the elephant in the living room where mantra music is being sung. And that is the elephant of Westerners singing the sacred chants from traditions other than their own. So we talk a little bit about that as well. And at the end of the interview, if you only listen to anything in this podcast, listen to the end of this interview, where there is two tracks that I recorded on the evening of the concert and put them on the end of this podcast with her permission. And that is one track called Breathe, which is from her album Indigo Sea, and a track Haseya, which she actually talks about in this interview, and that is from her album Haseya. So here is the interview. Enjoy this journey and this consideration of medicine music and sacred sound. Welcome, Ajit, to the Beats of Bhakti podcast. Had a wonderful evening at St. James's Church for Alternatives for your show. Right at the end, when there was the encore, you did this track that you haven't recorded yet, and it was just it was an ending, but it kind of felt almost like it could have been the start of another evening. That track in particular really dropped me into that still point. So it, rather than ending it on a high point, it was ended on a still point. So a very beautiful evening.
Thank you.
So thank you and you to you and your fellow musicians. It was wonderful.
It was a pleasure, as always. Nothing we'd rather be doing than sharing our music. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, really nice to be talking with you and to have just had the actual experience of making music and being there.
So this is obviously not the beginning of the tour. You've been touring around the US, Colombia, Chile, different countries. And I'm sure it's been an incredible experience sharing this music, connecting with people from different parts of the world. And potent, and it's such a potent medium of sharing. However, what have been the graces of this trip in terms of both the challenges and also the blessings of this trip?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are always plenty of challenges and graces in, I think, any travel, but especially in a, you know, travel where there are also a lot of events happening. It's a big job. It's a lot of work, kind of behind the scenes, and a lot of people putting their energy into it and their effort into it. And I'd say my biggest challenge of the last few months with touring has been, I actually got pneumonia on our South America tour, and that was definitely humbling. And being sick while traveling and really wanting to continue showing up for the concerts and be fully present, but while not feeling well physically. And then I had a similar experience a couple of years ago. I had Lyme's disease, and I got a really difficult strain of it. And I was trying to tour and travel with that as well. So I think that's been my biggest challenge, you know, recently, is just really finding that balance where I'm caring for myself. Because I think the music and my own, like, call to the music as kind of a calling, that it really feels that way. It's like something that I haven't chosen to do. It's more that it's fallen into place, and I feel really called to do it, and I love doing it. And so there's just a balance of really following that call fully, and then also realizing, I think my body has kind of reminded me, you're a human person. And, you know, just slow down, take care of yourself. And it's been a really special journey too for me, that aspect of it, because I think I speak to people a lot with my music and kind of send the message in the songs themselves for people to really tune in and listen to to what's inside and take space for that. And so I've kind of had my body remind me I have to do that as well, and that lesson is kind of a unending thing.
Wow. Yeah. I guess it's that reminding of the non-separation of the different parts of our life, you know, and how it's that sense of you know, wholeness in which we can really give.
Yeah.
We can, you know, we're giving to ourselves when we need it, and then therefore can give more, you know, coming from that space of connection with ourselves.
Yeah, and I think probably everyone has that balance, maybe a different life situation and, you know, different combination of things, but there has to be a flow of giving and receiving, and that I feel like probably has to be in balance for everyone, whatever that means. And it's kind of just a process of finding your own equilibrium where you have that ability to give whatever your gift is or whatever your calling is, but then you're getting what you need to be able to do that. So,
So in terms of this this giving that you're speaking of, we are, first of all, it's amazing that, you know, you're obviously coming across as very radiant and healthy now. So it's great that you've moved through all that, you know, to be here in London. So yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and in terms of that giving, so the new album, Indigo Sea, sacred sound, sacred music, and it is giving. People who listen to it are receiving it. And when you were speaking before about, you know, you embodied within it is what people receive, you know, what you hope people to receive or intend for people to receive. And there seems to be the element of water very much entrenched in this album. So could you talk to that a little bit, and maybe how that, the importance of that, and maybe also in connection with your own sadhana, your own practice?
I feel like I also have a balance always in writing music of it being kind of very personal and like kind of about what I'm dealing with in my own life and needing in my own life, and then also kind of having that intention that other people are going to hear it and other people are going to receive it, and wanting to you know, put something towards the world that is what I would want to put towards the world. But this album especially, I think more than any other album, was really just personal, like very much. And through that, it was to the point where, like, the first song I wrote on this album was The Waters. And it was so personal that when I first played it for my band, it was, I really rarely get nervous. And just playing it for my band, I was shaking. Like, I could barely play the guitar because I don't know what it was really. You know, it wasn't like a fear of being rejected. It was more like a feeling of just like opening up my own body and putting it on the table or something. You know, it was just so, it felt like the kind of thing, you know, we all have spaces that we share with the world, and then we have the ones that we kind of keep sacred and private. And I think probably all people in the arts are always walking that line. Mm-hmm. And I think with this album, I just kind of decided to like jump over the line and just leave it behind and not really think about it too much, mm-hmm. which I'm really happy I did, because then when I did start sharing those songs with other people, even though they're so personal, I think we all do, you know, we all do deal with these life experiences, mm-hmm. and these feelings in ourselves that it's always very moving to share, mm-hmm. those kind of deeper layers. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the resonance, that's the power of music in general. Yeah. That we hear something and it's just, it's singing to something within us that we had maybe forgotten.
Yeah.
Or that we didn't want to listen to, and someone else is singing it, so it's maybe time to listen. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe that, if that's something, I mean, it's all beautiful, but maybe something, I don't even want to use the word positive or negative, but something maybe you didn't want to look at, or something that you forgot that is really great. Mm-hmm. So that's powerful.
Yeah, I do. I feel that. It's almost like music is medicine that's like the spoonful of sugar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's when it's beautiful and it's there and you feel it and you're kind of relaxed, and then it's like you can feel something that you might not, mm-hmm. feel in other situations, because mm-hmm. the music creates the situation in which you can then open more. Mm-hmm. And that's the case for me when with music, definitely. Mm-hmm. But you asked about Water.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah, because listening to the album, there's listening to it, there's some potency in it, there's power in it, but there is this sense of just flow and softness that it just drifts from the first track to the last, and it's this journey,
yeah.
that doesn't feel like it stops, even though, yeah. there's some silence in between the tracks. So yeah,
definitely.
Water.
And there's even water, like recordings of water throughout, yeah. the whole thing. Right. It's a very important element of the album, for sure. I think that's why I was thinking initially when you asked that question about how this album was very personal, because I felt like that was what I needed at that time, was like that feeling of water, of like when you're in the water and you kind of let your body go and you float and you don't have to carry things anymore. And I think after traveling a lot and having kind of a tough time with my body with all the travel, and I was starting to feel kind of worn down, and I felt like that feeling of water was the medicine that I needed. And again, I kind of feel like that's something that probably other people are dealing with as well, you know, needing that feeling of just like being able to float and release everything and let everything go and feel totally held. And also by this element that is what nourishes our deepest part of ourselves, we can't exist without water. And I think also on a kind of more personal level, just spending a lot of time by the sea growing up, and that always being really important for me, and even in the water, like swimming is really, really important to me. And so I just felt that longing, mm-hmm. for water, mm-hmm. and the medicine of water, mm-hmm. and a kind of deeper appreciation, mm-hmm. for it.
Wow, yeah. I grew up with cars going past, the sound of cars, but that sounds beautiful. I mean, yeah, water. So, I mean, my guru talks about water
you know, in the sense of, you know, like the divine water, but also in the sense of when we're immersed in water, it's that primary sense, the primary sense of feeling. So when you're immersed in water, it's like there's no end. And it's that primary sense of feeling, you know, with the sense organ of the skin, but also beyond the skin, where there is just, we are within that, which is, there is no end, there is no boundary.
Yeah.
And that's that held in the most profound way.
Yeah.
You know,
it is water. It's like kind of confusing your body into thinking you're part of everything, which is a great experience to have.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I've always been so kind of addicted to being in the water, because it's a physical sensation that is very unlike anything else. And then these, obviously the songs have kind of more of a, like a storytelling, poetic sense about waters. Way of being in our lives as well, but then there's also just kind of the feeling. I tried to put that actual sensation through the sounds of water into the music.
Wow, definitely needing. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be listening to this album in a different way after this interview, which is great. It's
cool,
so
yeah.
such a blessing to be able to connect with the artist, because you know music these days, it's so easy to just flick, you know, Spotify. That's how we're consuming music. Is it's very easy to flick, but I personally really enjoy buying physical albums, but just because just the physical aspect of putting it into a player, pressing play, and then just actually going on the journey that the artist intended for you to go on from the beginning to the end. Because sometimes we can just hear one song and it doesn't, that song was placed in a careful, it's almost like it's funny, I was doing music with my friend the other day and she saw me sort of writing and moving some lyrics around, and she's been doing her redoing her GCSE maths, and she was saying, it looks like you're balancing an algebraic equation here. And an album is kind of similar in that. It's that balance of having this thread all the way through. So yes, I'll definitely be benefiting from actually going back and listening to it again, beginning to end.
That's great.
So over the years, you've collaborated with some great artists, Trevor Hall, Chloe Smith, and Lea Song from Rising Appalachia, and many other artists. So can you talk about, you know, how those arose, and just what it is about collaboration that nourishes you as a being and as an artist?
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly what it is. It really nourishes me to do it. It brings a freshness to the creative process, I feel, to bring another person into it, and especially someone who I've already been drawn to their work, which is the case definitely with those two or three people who you mentioned. I just already listened to their music, already really loved their, was very invested in their way of speaking and through their work. And so it was a real honor and really exciting for me both times to be able to do those projects. And yeah, I feel like it just kind of takes you out of any kind of ruts that you get in your own creative process. It really opens, for me, it opens my mind and kind of lets me see things I would never think to do. And then it's incredible to create a song and then share it with someone else and see how they put themselves into it, and it's like better than I could ever have imagined, or how I could have done it. Like, it, each person, their creative process is so unique and their way of speaking is so unique that I love that feeling of I couldn't do what they do. Like, we need each other to create something that I could never create and they could never create. We can only create together. For me, that's really powerful.
I guess there's this, because, you know, with the whole, as an, say, individual going through the musical process, there's all these subtle forces and energies and at play that are just, we kind of almost just see the tail end of them. And that's just on ourselves. And each artist has got that going on for themselves from wherever those energies are arising or appearing. And then when that's that energy together, it's just like, God knows what's going to happen, but we know what's going to happen. It's going to be sweet, and it's going to be magical, and it's going to be unique. And that, what a beautiful, and though the artist that you collaborated with must have been amazing. Was it, were you in the same studio together? Because I know a lot of people collaborate, you know, just sending tracks now and saying, right, you do your part, I do my part.
Yeah.
It's all together.
We were actually in separate places with both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and Trevor Hall and Rising Appalachia, everyone's always touring.
Yeah,
and
right.
So it took, even with recording in different places, it took a lot of kind of maneuvering mm-hmm. and time to kind of figure out the logistics mm-hmm. of it. But I think once you decide it's going to happen, then it's just a matter of moving things mm-hmm. in the way that it makes it possible. And I'm really glad that we did it. I didn't feel, with these songs at least, that anything was lost by the way we did it. Just because I can't imagine it being any more like what I hoped mm-hmm. for and what I wanted. I kind of love that. Like, I was in Bali when Trevor Hall recorded his part, and he recorded it at home in his own home studio. And there's something about that I feel comes through a little bit in the song. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very, very much, it feels to me like he's in his own space and like very rooted and grounded, mm-hmm. which I think the song that I sent to him and wanted him to include his part, it needed that grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted a male voice and his voice in particular and his way. And so I feel like it's just balanced it in an incredible way.
So for our listeners who maybe don't know the track, I know what you're talking about, because when he comes into it, he just really sinks, and it's just, and there's that. And with the tone of his voice.
Yeah.
So could you just say the title and the album?
Yeah.
That people could go to listen to that.
The song's called A Call, and it's featuring Trevor Hall, and it's on the album Hasea.
Wonderful. Thank you. So, in this genre of music, which doesn't seem to have a name at the moment, there are lots of people coming from different traditions, coming with their own cultural backgrounds, and also coming with their own experiences from what traditions have brought grace into their life and maybe had a turnaround where they've really connected with something deeper than who they are and touched them profoundly, and therefore feel inspired to, as musicians and artists, create tracks with these mantras, with these ikaros, with these prayers, incantations, whatever that may be. But then from someone looking on the outside, to put it bluntly, it, you know, almost seem a bit odd, you know, in the sense if you don't know this music, you don't know, you know, you maybe know a little bit that it's come from this tradition, but, you know, if sometimes, well, hold on, there's all these white people saying this music from these sacred traditions that maybe don't have the understanding that maybe be useful for people on the outside looking in to mm-hmm. say. So could you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah.
And maybe with your, in talking about your own cultural and spiritual influences.
Yeah, I love that question. I think it's a really important question and something that I would love the community to be talking about, because it's important that everyone kind of really sits with where they stand with that and how they feel about it. So it's something I think about a lot, actually. I've felt for a long time that what's important to me is that the traditions that I sing songs from or am representing in some way in my music or in my concerts is something that I have a deep and long-term relationship with somehow. Because I don't, for my own self and for my own creative process, I don't like the feeling of just kind of taking from all over the place, because I like the sound of it, because of what you're saying. Like there's are so many years and so many generations behind, what people are creating and carrying. And it can be a disrespect, I think, to just take and then put it out there in your own way. And maybe there's not so much experience behind it. But at the same time, I feel like much of the time, like growing up in the Western world, there is kind of a thirst for spiritual connection. And I think there is a way to get to know other cultures in a way that is really respectful of that culture. And as I said, it's something I think about a lot, you know, how keep checking in, like if I feel like that's happening, and then if somebody tells me they feel like I'm not doing that in some way, to really listen and not just defend against it. I think it's just really important to keep the conversations open.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that way with when I wrote the song Haseya, that comes from the Diné tradition and the Diné language. And there's such a complex history that the Diné people are the Navajo people in indigenous United States. And there's such a complex history between Europeans and the indigenous people there. And it felt very kind of complicated for me, whether it was something I felt good putting out. And I asked someone who I met at a festival who became a friend, who was a kind of an elder in his own community. And I asked him what he thought about it, because he is an indigenous person who's really leading and speaking for his community. And I felt like he would be able to really tell me honestly how I could present it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really open-minded about it. And he just said, he said that a lot of the songs that they have in their community don't have actual lyrics or words, but are more sounds you make, because that way when the Rainbow Tribe gathers and everyone comes from their different directions and different places, that everyone could sing together.
Right.
So that was kind of his response, was to answer me with like, I'll speak for my people when we say we want unity. And as long as you're respecting us and asking the way you are, that's you know, he kind of gave me a blessing in a way to do that. But even with that, I mean, that it was such a giving, kind of open and like heartfelt approach to what I was asking him. But even with that, I still feel like, I know there are people who don't necessarily agree and would feel I don't know how they would feel about it. But if there's mixed feelings about it, I always feel that it's something I think about a lot and I really sit with a lot.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think I always come back to that, like, you know, how deep is my own relationship to the thing that I'm singing or the thing that I'm saying? And is there a way that I could deepen my experience further to be saying it and doing it from a place that just had a little bit more behind it. And if so, then I think that leads you down generally something really enriching. Like getting to know a culture more deeply is always a good idea rather than just skimming the surface. So.
Yeah, well, thank you for speaking on so many different ways there and giving an example of a track where you've actually gone through something like that. It's almost like the great it is the great tradition of mankind. You know, that, you know, all of these sacred cultures forms the great tradition of mankind. And, you know, although there's, you know, it's, we could sort of throw out, you know, spiritual euphemisms, oh, we're all connected, we're all part of the same thing. It's still, you know, there is that sense of real honoring and becoming intimate with whatever we choose. Is that sense of intimacy, that sense of softness, of not owning something, of just being vulnerable enough to allow it to speak to us. And if we are willing to honor it in that way, then something beautiful can happen. We become nourished by it and it comes through us.
Yeah.
One track that I've been working on recently is it's in Old Farsi, it's in Persian. And it's a part of a Hafez poem. And I managed to connect with, I wanted to connect with someone who grew up in this tradition. And so I managed to connect with a friend whose husband's father was a Sufi master, a well-known Sufi master. And I went round and I spoke to him about the poem. I said, look, this is the part that I really want to. I think it's beautiful. It's so ecstatic. Just I've always connected to the poetry of Hafez. And And he's sat down with me and he showed me his instruments and he told me about his father and went through the pronunciation of it. And it felt, there was just an honoring, that's a connection with it. It's not just choosing words willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You know, because there is, as you say, these deep traditions that have roots beyond that which we can see.
Yeah.
But can be felt.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very powerful. So we're coming to the end of the interview. Just one more thing I wanted to ask you is, this music is very potent, and it comes with different frequencies, different energies, different textures, different different purposes of invocation and different purposes for even healing. Some people call it medicine music, some people call it devotional music, mantra, new age, world music, whatever it may be. But whatever it is, what's the why for you? What is the why? What is your why? If you can answer that, if it's even possible, you know, why are you doing it? If there was to be something that you felt that people took away when they either listen to your music or they come and hear you share the music, what's the why?
Yeah. I think it came out of my own experience of receiving this kind of music. When I was quite young, I was introduced to the traditional Irish singing tradition of Seanós music through my family there, which is just singing unaccompanied, and it's storytelling, and it's very moving. Like, I feel those songs especially, it's very natural for them to bring you to tears. Like, there's so much feeling that comes through in a way that only could come through music. And I think very young, I was moved by that in a big way. And then I also had a similar experience getting to know Sanatam's music when I was maybe 10 or so, and hearing her sing just with her guitar at like a summer camp. But her voice and her kind of way of singing is so unlike anything else, you know, very, very powerful. And so I think those among others experiences I had very young of how powerful music can be. And especially when it's not just for the sake of, I love music just for the sake of music.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't get me wrong.
For sure.
I was at some bar with my friend the other night hearing this amazing funk band in London, and it was just awesome. I'm all about that. But in my own music, I think I'm more influenced by those styles, that they really transported me. And I think there have been times in my own life where I really needed that transporting. And I think there are times in all of our lives where we need to go into a space where it is like that floating sensation, like you can let everything go just for a while. So I think the why of it for me is that I want to give other people that experience. Like, quite young, I think I just felt that desire to be able to like continue creating spaces where people could come in and sit down and feel lighter, different, maybe healed, maybe just a little more in touch with their own self and their sensations and their feelings through the magic that is music. I mean, it's nothing short of magic. It really does something.
Thank you for sharing your time.
My pleasure.
Sharing your a fraction of your story with us. And also, on a personal level, thank you for the performance this evening. I'll be floating when I go back to work tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Thank you. And I'll also be listening, having another listen from the beginning to the end of your album, and with a different feeling in my being.
Sounds good. Okay. Yeah, that one took everything. Put everything I had into it.
I'm sure there's more coming.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
It's always such a treat to come back and be here. And now I think it's been maybe 5 years, do you know, Richard, since we were first here? Something like that. 5 years. Most people think I'm like between 13 and 18, so that would make me very, very young when I first came here. I'm actually 27. It's not quite that young. But I'm no longer the babiest baby. It's just by 2 months.
Oh no, hang on, 2 years.
So yeah, it's really special to come back to the same space again and again. And were any of you here the first time or the last? Yeah. Wow. And how about last year? Were any of you here? Or was that 2 years ago? Yeah. Fun. This song just needed her and needed us in that place at that moment. And in the room we were recording, we could look out and see this very beautiful mountain that has a stone circle about somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 years old. And so this song is really about in the fast-paced world, being willing to walk out into the slow, deep wisdom of nature and reconnect with that feeling of connectedness with the natural world. Everything you need and more. let you know who these beautiful people are around me. This is Rafa Martinez and Pepe Sion. And Rafa is here from Spain, which is where we're heading tomorrow, to his hometown. But we're very lucky to have him with us. And then this is Ezra Landis on guitar. We have to have lots of fun and keep him awake because he flew overnight last night to come be with you from the States. He's our superhero today. So what would you like to hear? Hasea. Hasea. Okay. Don't worry, we have plenty of time. Many things can happen. I like the idea of some Hasea. The guys out there, so glad you men exist in this world. But this song is really to celebrate the women and the spirit of creativity, of that feminine flow that is, I feel, in every person. But I wrote this song especially as a reminder to myself and to other women that we can be in community in a way that we really support each other and enjoy each other. Because I think a lot of the time, many of us were kind of taught to compare ourselves with each other. And so, this song is kind of a reminder that when we recognize each other's beauty, that just allows us to rise even higher and rise together. So this word, Hasea, means she rises or to rise up.
Walk with me, I'll tell you a thousand stories.
See.